Hello and welcome to another talk in our series of Pedagogy in Dialogue. This is a format brought to you by the current team of the Chair of Historical Pedagogy and Global Education at the University of Jena, where we hope to discuss different topics in the field of professional and scientific pedagogy. Today, for the second time, I am here with Dr. Esther Barhardt, who is visiting from the University of Haifa in Israel, and we are going to continue our discussion on health behavior and health behavior education. Dr. Esther Barhardt is an international colleague from the University of Haifa who is visiting the Institute of Education and Culture during July 2021. And since this is a talk on health and educational intervention concerning health, we will most probably also touch on the topic of the corona pandemic, because this is still a time when the pandemic very much impacts our daily life. Esther, you studied psychology and sociology in Israel, and you have been working in the field of health organization and health behavior education for some time now. And you are employed at the Chair of Nursing Science at the University of Haifa. And you also specialize in organizational psychology, focusing on leadership and motivation. I'm happy to talk to you again today. How are you today?
Thank you, Pia. Thanks for having me again, Pia.
Now, the last time we talked, we introduced the terms of health and illness in general, and you talked about a supposed shift of awareness for health and illness in public attention in connection with the corona pandemic. And concerning public attention, you also explained in what ways health and illness, respectively, are terms that are socially constructed, meaning that they are generated in social interactions and that they change over time. For me, that was where education concerning health behavior should set in, which is why today we want to focus on the question of what health behavior education should or what it could be, and thus also what it cannot be. Now, before we concentrate on health behavior education, would you mind giving a short overview over the term of health behavior once again?
Yes, of course, Pia. As I explained in our first meeting, health behavior can be described as action and habits that relate to health maintenance, restoration, and health improvement. This action taken by an individual can affect one's health or mortality. Actions that can be classified as health behaviors are many. For example, smoking, alcohol use, diet, and of course, vaccination, as you explained with the corona period we are in.
Now, what should health behavior education be in your point of view?
Schools are socializing environments to which students are exposed for at least 8,000 hours during their adolescence. So yes, we can say that health behavior education is important and maybe is very important. First of all, it's important to teach students to think critically and to not accept the standards of what is considered healthy or sick as the absolute truth. To teach them that health and illness are social constructs, as you say before, which can change over time and not only an individual responsibility. Health behavior should be examined in contexts such as school and also family, workplace, and in neighborhoods. Yet, we have to consider that education can confer a sense of personal control in one's life. It provides knowledge and fosters skills, habits, and attitudes which enhance students' confidence and belief that through their actions they can prevent illness or disease. Researchers call this phenomenon internal locus of control. In contrast, external locus of control is a fatalist belief. The disease is unaffected by an individual's efforts or behavior. Research results present positive association between internal locus of control and healthier behavior. So if this is the case, then during the corona period, the role of schools was more than just teaching the usual curriculum. They had the responsibility to foster new habits, such as wearing face masks, keeping social distance, maintaining proper hygienic, as well as educating about the disease and the vaccine, in order to develop an internal locus of control in the student, which, as I said before, internal locus of control foster healthier behaviors.
Okay. Well, this leads me to another topic that I would like to discuss with you. What is your opinion on the ethics of health behavior? Because it seems to me that a fundamental assumption of health behavior, and thus health behavior education, is that people should behave, that they should behave in ways that sustain their health and fitness. Did I get the wrong idea, or is health behavior a highly normative concept?
I understand your point of view, but the main issue is to cultivate a critical approach, and along with providing knowledge and skill. If we cultivate critical approach, we can overcome ethical issues as well. So we have to bring the student the knowledge and also to cultivate critical approach. And together,
then
it's okay.
The students can decide on their own what they want to do.
Yeah.
I like that. All of what you have now mentioned probably contributes to your study of the psychology of health behavior. In your research, you especially highlight one aspect, which is the motivation to health behavior. First of all, maybe could you explain the psychological approach to motivation? What is motivation?
Yes, in the Latin word, motive is to move. Okay, so the word motivation describes why a person does something, whether it is getting a glass of water to reduce thirst or reading a book to gain knowledge. Psychologists have proposed different theories to explain why we act in certain way. For example, Maslow's theory that I'm sure our audience are familiar with. Types of motivation are frequently described as being either extrinsic or intrinsic. Extrinsic motivations are those that arise from outside of the individual and often involve rewards such as trophies, money, social recognition, or praise. For example, a government around the world offers their citizens incentives for getting vaccinated. Biden's slogan is "Get a shot and have a beer." Okay, but it doesn't work like this. We know that the government still have the world and still have the problem that many people don't want to get vaccinated. So it's not enough. Extrinsic motivations are not enough. So we have to foster intrinsic motivation that arise from within the individual to do things.
Yeah, that probably leads directly to the study that you did. If I'm not mistaken, you have done research on factors that influence the motivation to health behavior. What are those factors and how are they more than just intrinsic motivation?
Yeah, I will explain a little bit about my work, about my study.
Yeah.
I thought about the problem that although education is a main motivator for health behavior, I believe so, we still can see personal differences. The most common example is that some people behave in accordance with the corona regulation and some don't. So I was interested in the case of breast cancer. Women in Israel are educated, in quotation marks, in school and in the media to adhere to three practices for early detection and prevention of breast cancer. The one is breast self-examination, starting in their 20s. The second one is mammography screening once a year, which is given free of charge to women age 40 and above. And clinical breast examination by physicians once a year, which is included in medical insurance. And we can see that although women get all the necessary information about the availability and possibilities of the examinations and their importance, women do not follow the recommendation, the all recommendations, precisely. In trying to understand what motivates women to do or not to do the recommended examinations, I investigated the relationship between personal characteristics and early detection and prevention of breast cancer, of the three practices. Okay? For that, because I think that also personal characteristics have a role in health behavior, I use the Big Five personality traits, which is the Big Five main personality: neuroticism, extroversion, openness, agreeableness, and consciousness. Results of my studies showed that specific personal characteristics from the five were correlated with which breast examination the women did. For example, I can say that women expressed extroversion, high neuroticism, and low openness were more likely to prefer mammography screening.
Concerning the Big Five personality traits, could you maybe explain in a few words what is extroversion, neuroticism, and openness?
Yes, of course. Extroversion represents the tendency to be sociable, dominant, and experience positive emotion. Neuroticism, on the other hand, is the tendency to experience negative emotions such as anxiety, anger, and depression. Results show that distressed women, neuroticism women, do more frequent utilization of medical services. They are using them more because they are very stressed, they are very depressed, and so on. About the openness, the character, individual openness people are creative, flexible, curious, and unconventional in one way. So again, I want to repeat my results. I found that women expressed high extroversion, high neuroticism, and low openness, okay? They weren't so openness to the world. They perform more mammography screening. On the other hand, breast examination by a physician was performed mainly by women who expressed high neuroticism and low openness, as other research, other studies show that women who express high neuroticism use more frequently the medical services. Breast self-examination was performed mainly by women who expose high extroversion, high openness, and high conscientiousness.
Then again, yes. Could I maybe ask, yes. What is conscientiousness, what you just mentioned, yeah. And agreeableness?
Yeah. Conscientiousness means self-control and an active process of planning, organizing, and executing tasks. So because they were high conscientiousness, and usually do the recommended examinations, okay, as they do other things in their lives. Agreeableness people refers to one's attitude toward others. High agreeableness people have the tendency to be kind, gentle, trustworthy, and warm. So they also use a medical examination because they feel comfortable to talk with people, they trust them, they trust their opinion. So these are the results. What's important is that the relationships were found beyond women's age. That means that the recommendation of a mammography screening for women over 40 years old, it's not so important, because the main important thing is what is her characteristics. Is she extrovert, agreeableness, neurotic? Okay. I want to add that additional studies done by my students show the association between personal characteristics and health behavior. That means we had the same results in other way. For example, a positive relation was found between neuroticism and heavy drinking alcohol. Also, a positive relation was found between extroversion and the use of cannabis. While negative relation was found between conscientiousness and the use of cannabis. Okay? So, it goes together.
Yeah. And if I understand that correctly, in your study you found out that health behavior is related to those personality traits in a specific way, and that those personality traits thus also relate to the motivation to health behavior.
Yes, because if there is a recommended practices, this is the way practice health behavior, okay?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
That's the connections.
And talking about motivation, I feel that at this point maybe we could take another look at the subject of pedagogy and health behavior education. You just said that education can be a motivator for health behavior, but that there are, as we discussed, personal differences. If I had to break it down, I would probably say that at the heart of pedagogy lies one question, and that is the question about the possibility and facilitation of behavior modification, both of students and of people in general. The question is, can we willingly change our behavior, or are we basically just determined by the outside world or by God, maybe, whatever you believe? Now, motivation seems to be a way to initiate this change of behavior. And I would also say that this method of trying to motivate students, inspired by psychology and educational psychology, is in fact very popular today. In educational psychology, learning actually is understood as the stable change of a person's behavior over time. And to me, it seems obvious that motivation is a necessary condition for this change. Would you agree?
Yes, I think I agree with you. I understand what you say, and I agree. I think that the main conclusion of my study is that in order to increase students' participation in health behavior, the relation between personal characteristics and behavior should be further studied, and educational effort should be initiated based on student personality, not just in general.
Yeah, and if I understand that correctly, you would probably support an individualization of teaching. And I think that's also a tendency that we can find a lot in classrooms in contemporary pedagogy. The responding to individuals and also paying attention to heterogeneity in learning groups. So I guess we could go on talking about this topic for another podcast, which in fact we also will. We will come together next week, and then we will be talking about a slightly different topic, which is the concept of the self. And for today, I want to once again say thank you.
Thank you, Pia.
Thank you for the interesting insight, and I will see you next week.
See you.